Good morning and happy Friday. I'm Cheryl Walker with the News Gazette. Today is Friday, February the 21st, 2025. And we'll begin today's reading with the headline story, IHSA Wrestling Back in Town. Among the retirement gift high schools have presented to Ron Coit this season, a plaque from Lincoln, a grill set from Leroy, and t-shirts from Unity. Whistle Stop, 45-year-old official feeling the love on his final lap. The story was written by Jim Russo, that's Jay Russo, at newsgazette.com. After introducing and congratulating the senior wrestlers participating at the month's Heart of Illinois Conference Tournament in Mackinac, the public address announcer turned his attention to a 66-year-old wearing a whistle. "We have a senior citizen giving it up too. Ron Coit's farewell season as a wrestling official, a hard-to-believe number 45, has included tributes at every stop from t-shirts to plaques to cutting boards to spatulas. They know I like to grill out," he said. After being announced at the tournament in Mackinac, he walked down the line of seniors and shook hands. "The retirement tour from the schools was awesome, something I will cherish for quite some time," he said. This weekend marks 28 consecutive appearances at the IHSA individual team finals. It will be the final time Coit calls a match at State Farm Center. "Walking through that tunnel, that's pretty awesome experience," he said. "You just can't beat that. At 66, his health is good and his energy level high. Having travel demands, however, cemented his decision to retrieval. If only could be beam me up, Scotty, I keep doing it," he said. Coit was a 3-time conference champion in wrestling at Norman Community, class of 1977. He was 21 when he started officiating. His long run has been Coit ref wrestlers from 3 generations of families. It's been a great run. In 2019, he served as Grand Marshal at the Grand March, which annually precedes Saturday's championship matches at State Farm Center. His wife, Kay, and 3 daughters were in the crowd on what he considered a special night. "This weekend ranks up there, too. I'll probably be pretty emotional, especially coming through the tunnel," he said. "I hope to go out strong." Half Century of Progress. The show will go on. Ran to a half century official sign extension by Dave Hinton. D. Hinton at newsgazette.com. Ran Tool. For at least last half dozen times, the Half Century of Progress show has been held. Co-chair Russell Burr has heard rumors that it would be the last time that Rantoul will play host. Burr said he doesn't know where the rumors emanated from, but show officials and the village decided to do something about it. They have announced the signing of a contract extension, confirming that the next 3 shows will continue to be held at the Rantoul National Aviation Center, commonly called the Rantoul Airport, on the grounds of the former Chanute Air Force Base. Rumors that the biannual show would leave Rantoul have swirled the last 5, 6, 7 shows, Burr said. "That's coffee shop talk," he said. "They've got to talk about something." Fellow co-chair Derek Harm said the agreement on the extension to keep the show in Rantoul this year and in 2027 and 2029 is good for both the village and the show organizers. "It was good to get the contract in place," Harm said. "They wanted to get it done as much as we wanted to." Harm said the show will continue to be held much like it has been in the past. "Everything's going to be the same," he said. Rantoul Village Administrator Scott Eisenhower said the two sides started talking about doing a multi-show agreement prior to the 2023 show. "We thought it was important to show that both sides, the village and the show, are very committed to a long-term commitment here in Rantoul," Eisenhower said, adding that the new deal means we don't have to deal with any rumors because this contract will confirm that the show will be held here at least through 2030. The first half-century show was held for 2 days in 2003 near Henning, just before the start of the Farm Progress show at the location. 2 years later, it moved to Rantoul and has been held there every other year since. Now billed as a premier working vintage farm show in the U.S., this year's event is set for August 21st through the 24th. "It's grown ever since. I've been here with my first show being in 2019, Eisenhower said. "And we recognize the economic benefit, but as I've argued, that isn't even the greatest advantage of hosting the show. It's the fact that for 1 week out of every 2 years, we are absolute focused on agriculture community internationally." The airport grounds became a small city with tens of thousands of people taking in exhibits, entertainment, and vintage farm demonstrations and socializing. It's hard to describe what you'll see at the show, Eisenhower said. People will say what it is like. You can say you're going to see farm equipment from the last 50 years with tens of thousands of people a day, but saying it and seeing it are extremely different experiences. Eisenhower said he had been to the Farm Progress Show before, but had not attended the Half Century Show prior to becoming Rancho Village Administrator. I do find the history, the capabilities of older equipment, the nuances, and just the fact that many still exist are operating is fascinating, he said. Under the agreement, the village receives a portion of the interest fee to offset costs. The village expenses are primarily providing security via the police department during the show and the recreation and public works departments working on the site before and after. The airport is shut down to air traffic for 10 days, which includes not only the show days, but also time for setup and takedown on the grounds. Burr said after the first few events, a change was made to allow one of the airport's runways to remain open during the show. We had some plans landing during the show. He said that it took a little more coordination. Burr said half a century organizers, the show is sponsored by I&I Antique Tractor and Gas Engine Club, have had a good working relationship over the years with Mayor Chuck Smith, Eisenhower, and former Mayor Neil Williams. Herm said the village has allowed the club to store equipment in Hangar 4 during and after the show. Eisenhower said one nice thing about the show is the demure, I apologize, of those attending. Even last show, we had such high temperatures and had to open a number of cooling shelters around the area. You would think people would be upset, disappointed, or angry. And yet, all we got were pleasantries, compliments, and people who were excited to be there for the show. Regardless of the temperature, he said, the friendliness of the people who are at the show is extremely refreshing and enjoyable to witness. This year's show will highlight several different equipment and tractor brands and sizes, including a celebration of 100 years of Caterpillar, and will feature daily tractor pulls. It will also feature the largest flying American flag in the U.S. This year's Half Century Progress Show will be held August 21st through the 24th at the Rantoul National Aviation Center on the grounds of the former Chinook Air Force Base. A beautiful picture of last year's show is provided with the story. This story contains original reporting by the News Gazette staff. If you are not a subscriber, please consider becoming one, because local journalism is only possible with your support. Hill-to-toe changes in works on cusp of 50th. Among the bigger ones, reducing its footprint, by Jana Weiserman. Jay Weiserman at newsgazette.com. In a world where almost anything can be found online, including footwear, how has a local brick-and-mortar business managed to stay open for nearly 50 years? Anna Dunhole, general manager of Hill to Toe in downtown Urbana, said it's largely due to customer service offered at the shoe store, which doubles as an orthopedic facility. The space at 108.5 West Main Street in Urbana that houses Hill to Toe's innovative bracing department is up for sale or lease. Hill to Toe, you can buy definitely shoes online, but it's much harder to get something that fits good, feels good, is appropriate for whatever the activity is, she said, and we offer that. From the newest people here to those who've been under there for 30 years, there's just a lot of experience and knowledge. Now in the 49th year, Hill to Toe includes the store of the same name at 106 West Main Street, along with the adjacent Birkenstock Concepts and New Balance stores. However, the business has put its space at 108.5 Main Street, which currently houses innovative bracing on the market after the departure of orthodontist Dan Kalupo in January, Donhoe said. Hill to Toe will no longer provide bracing, but will continue to offer a variety of prosthetic services through its other clinical staff, including a clinical offering of custom orthotics, diabetic foot care, and orthopedic footwear. The business has said that these offerings will eventually be relocated inside its other three retail stores. Innovative bracing is still open, Janho said. We're seeing our clinical patients there and will continue to do so until the space has been sold. She emphasized that they are not closing anything, merely downsizing to three stores. The former innovative bracing space is available for sale or lease and is being marketed by retailer Alex Rodrigo. There seems to be a lot of new business cropping up in our downtown area, so we're really excited to see what could find a home in our very desirable Main Street location, officials with Hill to Toe has said. In addition to Coppolo, customers may have noticed the absence of another familiar face at Heel to Toe, sales manager Van Boyd, who had been with the business for nearly 40 years, retired about a year ago, Danho said. He was our sales floor manager and pretty much the face and voice of Heel to Toe, as a lot of people will remember from commercials, she said. She noted that many customers still look for Boyd when they visit the shop. He was the store for by the 38.5 years, long enough to remember his original location at Marketplace Mall in Champaign. The business first opened in the mall in 1976 as the Earth Shoe Store, before relocating to downtown Urbana in 1987. The Birkenstock concept and the New Balance stores were added in 1995 and 2002, respectively. An innovative bracing opened about 10 years ago. And looking forward to 2026, Donahoe said the shop will likely have sales to mark its golden anniversary along with other events. We won't have a parade, she joked. There are still be some type of celebration, I am sure, and it may go on for the whole year. Who knows? The space at 108.5 West Main Street in downtown Urbana that houses Heel to Toe's innovative bracing department is available for sale or lease. The business is staying open but downsizing space. A photo of the 108.5 West Main Street space was provided with the story. History. Area history in 1925. Refusal of the city of Champaign to permit James Dickerson to erect a store building in the 200 block on New Street was sustained in the circuit court when Judge Boggs decided the zoning ordinance recently enacted in the city should hold good in spirit, if not according to the letter. The decision will end once and for all for the local controversy as to whether or not the city would have the right to prohibit the erection of a store building in residential property in view of the fact that zoning ordinances have been held to be unconstitutional in other cities. In 1975, the Assembly Hall Advisory Committee approved a ticket line policy that would be based on a lottery system. It is now up to Assembly Hall Director Tom Parkinson to decide if and when the policy will be implemented. The lottery would be used to determine the order in which students would buy tickets the day they go on sale. Separate lotteries would be held for block sales and sales for 10 tickets or less. In 2010, Champaign native Catherine Bretter's best hope at an Olympic medal ran into trouble as she was impeded twice during the final 1,500 meters en route to a fourth place finish in the short track final at the Vancouver Games. International History Today's highlight on February 21, 1965. Civil rights activist Malcolm X, 39, was shot to death inside Harlem's Audubon Ballroom in New York. Three men identified as members of the Nation of Islam were convicted of the murder and imprisoned. All were eventually paroled. The convictions of two of the men were dismissed in November of 2021 when prosecutors said no evidence had undermined the case against them. On this date, in 1916, the Battle of Verdun, the longest battle of the World War I, began in northeastern France. And that has been today in history. Top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy staff writer Luke Taylor. Bellying Up on Fridays will spotlight the men and women serving up cold ones in conversation in our neck of the woods. Let us know about your favorite bartender by emailing itaylor@newsgazette.com. If you're on the hunt for a new job, here's a unique way to get hired. Just start working somewhere. That's how bartender Erica Wild got her position at Trackside in Tolono when she was there hanging out while a friend shot pool. Since I'm not much of a pool player, I was a little bored one night, Wild said. Barb, one of the owners, happened to be working, so I jumped in to help her roll silverware, and I guess you could say I never really left. That was about 3 years ago. Before that, Wild has been at home with her kids for 13 years, so she enjoyed having the chance to be around more adults and work flexible hours. She's still loving working at Trackside, which she says has a great family atmosphere. It's the kind of place where you come for food, fun, but safe for the people. There's a laid-back charm here, and we're always try to make sure everyone feels welcome, Wild said. Some of Wild's favorite moments at the bar are when it's crowded for an event or just a busy night and it just feels like one big party. It's those nights that really make track sites feel special, Wild said. Then there are the greater quieter times when the bar is slow and there are only a few people around. That's when you get to have some really great conversations. Outside of work, she is, of course, spending lots of time with her two sons, 12 and 15-year-olds, but she's also on the home stretch with her last semester of her undergraduate studies at the University of Illinois. Wild is studying social work and is interning at the Division of Specialized Care for Children. She was also just accepted into the U of I Master Program and is set to start this fall. My goal of being able to support children and families definitely keeps me motivated, and knowing the work I'm doing now is building toward the future that makes busy days feel worthwhile, Weil has said. Daybook Almanac. There are 313 days left in the year. Notable birthdays: film and music executive David Giffen is 82, actor Tylan Daly is 79, actor Anthony Daniels is 79, actor William Peterson is 72. Actor Kelsey Grammer is 70. Country musician Mary Chapin Carpenter is 67. Baseball Hall of Famer Alan Trammell is 67. Actor William Baldwin is 62. Democratic Senator Mark Kelly of Arizona is 61. Actor Antoine Ellis Taylor is 56. And musician Brianna Giddens is 48. Actor Titus Burgess is 46. Actor Jennifer Love Hewitt is 46. Filmmaker, comedian Jordan Peele is 46. Singer Charlotte Church is 39. Actor Elliot Page is 38. Actor Joe Allen is 34. And actor Sophia Turner is 29. Lotteries. Thursday Illinois Lottery Pick 3 Midday was 814. Pick 3 Evening 838. Pick 4 Midday 7202. Pick 4 Evening 6465. Lucky Day Lotto Midday is 11, 22, 23, 26, 44. Lucky Day Lotto Evening is 10, 26, 28, 35, 44. Lotto 15, 17, 21, 28, 41, 49. And the estimated jackpot is $2.6 million. Thursday's Hoosier Lottery Daily 3 Midday was 0, 0, 1. Daily 4, midday 6277. An estimated lotto jackpot is $41.2 million. Today's Mega Millions estimated jackpot is $165 million. Saturday's Powerball estimated jackpot is $215 million. Need the numbers we didn't have by press time? Contact Illinois Lottery 1-800-252-1775. That's IllinoisLottery.com. Hoosier Lottery information 800-95-LOTTO. HoosierLottery.com. Black History Month. Trump holds event. Some agencies skip recognition after DEI order. President Donald Trump marked Black History Month at the White House on Thursday by making an appearance at a celebratory reception with a surprise guest, golf legend Tiger Woods, while calling out other athletes in attendance and marveling at the size of the crowd. Trump also announced he planned to bring Alice Johnson, a prison reform advocate whom he pardoned in 2020, into his administration to work on clemency issues. The White House Black History Month reception preserved a tradition, but it comes in the wake of Trump issuing a wide-ranging executive order ending the federal government's diversity, equity, and inclusion programs has disrupted its observance elsewhere. Today, we pay tribute to the generations of Black legends, champions, warriors, and patriots who helped drive our country forward to the greatness. And you really are great, great people, Trump said. Trump didn't mention his anti-DEI crusade as he addressed hundreds of guests in a reception in the East Room, though he did make a brief reference to the New York Times 1619 Project, which highlights the lasting consequences of slavery in America. Trump objected to the project during the first term and in response created a commission to promote so-called patriotic education dubbed the 1776 Commission. The last administration tried to reduce all of American history to a single year, 1619, but under our administration, we honored the indispensable role Black Americans have always played in the immortal cause of another day, 1776, Trump said. We like 1776. Trump has called DEI programs discrimination and pushed erratic diversity programs from the government, directed that DEI workers eventually be laid off, and exerted similar pressures on the private sector to a shift to an exclusive focus on merit. The sweeping effort has sown discord and confusion across federal agencies, which has variously interpreted the order to limit how they can acknowledge race and history and culture or the report Democratic data on race and gender. Joining Trump were Black political figures and activists who have been his vocal supporters. Invited guests, according to a White House official, included Republican Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, Republican Representative John James of Michigan, Alveda King, a niece of civil rights leader Martin Luther King, Herschel Walker, the football legend who is Trump's choice as a U.S. ambassador to the Bahamas, and prison reform advocate Alice Johnson, whom he pardoned in 2020. Other invited guests included figures from sports and entertainment, including former ESPN host Sage Steele, former NFL player Jack Brewer, and rap stars Kodak Black, Lil Boozy, and Rod Wave, according to the official, who was not authorized to speak publicly and spoke on condition of anonymity. Russia-Ukraine war. Conference between Zelensky and U.S. canceled. This story is written by Justin Pike. Kyiv, Ukraine, a news conference that was planned to follow talks between Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky and U.S. President Donald Trump's Ukraine envoy was canceled Thursday as political tensions deepened between the two countries over how to end the almost three-year war with Russia. The event was originally supposed to include comments to the media by Zelensky and retired U.S. Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg, but it was changed at the last minute to a simple photo opportunity where the two poles, who are journalists, did not deliver statements or field questions as expected. The change was requested by the U.S. side. Ukrainian presidential spokesman Cyril Nikki Norkofo said Kellogg's trip to Kyiv coincided with recent feuding between Trump and Zelensky that has bruised their personal relationship and cast further doubt on the further future of U.S. support for Ukraine's war efforts. People gathered during a vigil Thursday hours after the bodies of four Israeli hostages were handed over by the Palestinian militant group in Gaza to Israel and Tel Aviv. Israel IDs remains of child hostages, says body return was not mother. Tel Aviv, Israel. The Israel military said Friday it had positively identified the remains of two young hostages, but a third body released by Hamas under a ceasefire deal was not the boy's mother, as the militant group had promised. The revelation was a shocking twist in the saga surrounding the Bibas family, who have become global symbols of the plight of the Israeli hostages held by Hamas. And through the future, the fragile ceasefire into question. This is a violation of utmost severity by the Hamas terrorist organization, the army said in a statement. During the month-long ceasefire, Hamas has been releasing living hostages in exchange. Hundreds of Palestinian prisoners of Palestine. Thursday's release marked the first time the group has returned the remains of dead hostages. Early in the day, Hamas had turned over four bodies to the Red Cross. Israel quickly confirmed one body was that of Oded Lishvish, who was 83 when he was abducted during the Hamas attack that started the war on October 7, 2023. Hamas has said the other remains belong to Shira Babaz and her two young boys, Ariel and Kiefer. In an overnight announcement, the army said Israel's National Institute of Forensic Medicine had identified the boys, but the final set of remains did not belong to their mother. It said the remains did not match any other hostage either. This is an anonymous, unidentified body, it said. We demand that Hamas return Sheree home along with all other hostages. It said the army had notified their family, including Yaron Bibas, Sheree's husband, and her father of the two boys, who was released early this month as part of the ceasefire deal. Hamas's claim all four of the hostages returned Thursday were killed in Israel airstrikes, but Israel said the testing had found the two boys and Lishvis were killed by their captors. Hamas did not immediately respond to Israel's announcement that the body was not of the boy's mother. A top U.S. official issued a stark warning for Hamas after the Israeli military said the militant group released an anonymous body and not that of a slain Israeli hostage. Speaking to CNN U.S., Envoy Adam Boyler called the Hamas decision to reportedly release the wrong body horrific and a clear violation of the ceasefire halting fighting in the Gaza Strip. If I were them, I'd release everybody or they are going to face total annihilation, said Boyler, who serves as the U.S. envoy for hostages. It is now unclear whether the next scheduled swap set for Saturday will take place. It also is not clear whether the truce, which halted 15 months of fighting, will be extended when the current phase expires in early March. In another potential blow to a deal, a series of explosions Thursday on three park buses rattled central Israel. There were no injuries and no claim of responsibility, but the Israel military said in response it was beefing up its forces in the West Bank, raising the likelihood of further escalation in the area. Israel has been carrying out a broad military offenses in the occupied territory since the ceasefire took place. Kash Patel confirmed as FBI director. The Senate on Thursday narrowly voted to confirm Cash Patel as director of the FBI, moving to place him at the top of the nation's premier federal law enforcement agency. Despite doubts from Democrats about his qualifications and concerns, he will do Donald Trump's bidding and go after the Republican president's adversaries. I cannot imagine a worse choice, said Dick Durbin, Democrat of Illinois, told colleagues before the 51-49 vote by the GOP-controlled Senate. Since Susan Collins of Maine and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska were the lone Republican holdouts, a Trump loyalist who has fiercely criticized the agency, he will now lead. Patel will inherit an FBI gripped by turmoil as the Justice Department over the past month has forced out of senior bureau officials and made a highly unusual demand for the names of thousands of agents who participated in investigations related to the January 6 to 2021 riot at the U.S. Capitol. Patel has spoken of his desire to implement major changes at the FBI, including a reduced footprint in Washington and renewed emphasis on the Bureau's traditional crime-fighting duties, rather than the intelligence-gathering work that has come to define its mandate over the past two decades as national security threats have proliferated. But also, he has also echoed Trump's stated desire for reprisal, raising the alarm among Democrats for saying before he was nominated that he would come after anti-Trump conspirators in the federal government and the media. In a statement posted after the vote on the social media platform X, Patel wrote that he was honored to be confirmed as the ninth director of the FBI, an institution he said had stored legacy. Opinions editorial. Pritzker offers his own phone plan for public schools. Young people and smartphones are not a great combo when it comes to educational instruction. In his typically plain-spoken style, Governor J.B. Pritzker said many things people expected to hear during the Wednesday State of the State address. He talked about taxes, health care, public safety, etc. It was a kind of a typical boilerplate budget address that could hold the attention of only the most dedicated policy wonk, but the governor dropped one bombshell that reverberated across the state. Pritzker wants a ban on cell phones in school classrooms. The governor's proposal deserves an applause, even if it may not sound totally unhip to the know-it-all K-12 set. Cell phones certainly have their important uses, but too many children are spending too much time staring at their screens instead of interacting in the real world. One can say that same thing about adults, of course, but at least they are adults. Improving the classroom and limiting distraction is vital to student achievement. And in conversations with educators and parents around the state, there is one thing they commonly cite as an impediment to learning in the classroom: cell phones, Pritzker said. Student performance is not the only issue with cell phones. The governor spoke about the negative mental health effect they have on children. There is still much to be learned about the subject, but the bottom line is that young people need to engage in the real world with real people rather than with some online universe. Indeed, it takes a step further. Young people would hate losing their smartphones, but flip phone probably would meet their basic needs. The governor's proposal comes with all kinds of caveats to ensure kids and their phones are never too far apart, but banning them from class during instruction time only makes sense. Adoption is likely given current trends. If so, Illinois would join a growing number of states, including neighbors Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky, and Michigan, that have taken or are taking the plunge. If test scores are any indication of K-12 education in Illinois, it is desperately poor condition for a variety of reasons. While not a panacea, removing cell phones in the classroom should improve the atmosphere. So give the governor credit for leading the way. I'm Cheryl Walker. This is the conclusion of part one of the News Gazette. Please stay tuned for part two. This is Friday, February 21st. I look forward to reading for you.